there, just because was somewhat involved with this project a couple years ago when we looked at it. But ultimately, we have Dean.
Yep.
Remind me last name.
Suki.
Suki from Core Trust Bank, and they're currently located over in Anoka. And a couple years ago, they expressed interest in buying land from the city in the core and moving their operations to the city of Ramsey. We worked through a process that included council, EDA, and planning commission at the time, and ultimately made it pretty far along in the process, but failed to be approved at the towards the very end. And
everyone.
And now with the change in council, was a little bit of a reason for Core Trust to come back and re-express interest, and they've been working with Sean for the last few weeks. And with that, I guess I'll kind of turn it over to Sean and just explain briefly that we met with them and they worked through the process towards really almost the very end of it for approvals a couple years ago. But if you want to add anything else, Sean?
For the newer council members, would you like to see kind of a map of what the project would look like?
Yes.
Just give me a second. Shows what Dean and Core Trust showed to the city back in would have been July of the 2023. And again, I don't know. I'm sorry, I had to step out before. I don't know what Brian brought you up to speed on, but generally speaking, what he's looking to do is to bring back the project as it was depicted before, which has accesses only off of Zeolite Street, not Sunwood Drive. And the rationale behind that is if there is to be an access point off of Sunwood Drive, it would need to be kind of midway in the block, and this is right on the corner. A lot of time and effort went into lining up the accesses so that the main access to this development would come in and it would be lined up with the hotel. So I'm going to bring a picture of an aerial up here so you see what that looks like. All right. So what you're looking at is a bank situated on the corner here. You can see where the access goes into the hotel. You're going to see over on this side right here, that's where the access comes into the bank, comes in here. There's a drive through here, and it comes around here. And I apologize, I don't have a picture of that right now. So if you bear with me, I can dig into the file and grab that as well.
It should be in the previous case, I think.
Yeah. You can go into the case, yeah. I could do that, too. Let's try that. Just got a little bit discombobulated when I had to jump in and out of the meeting, so I apologize for that, but we'll get there. Good idea, Dan. Again. this show is, I think, the best way to look at that.
I'll
get there. There we go.
A little bit. It's been a month since we've had a meeting.
What was that?
We're knocking off the rust a little bit. It's been a month since we've had a meeting.
Yeah, well, I've never had this technical problem. So you can see that the bank is situated on the corner here. I'll zoom down to that first. So this is Sunwood Drive. This is Zeolite Street. You have Zeolite Street here. Then you have Then you have the entrance lined up with the hotel entrance over there. And then you have the drive-through. So the traffic would come in here, come around here, and then go through the drive-throughs and exit. What this is also showing, and it's a little busy, is a secondary building. So when you look at the bank alone, which is obviously phase one, you know, employees and customers can also park here. And like I was mentioning before, you can't really have an access come up mid-block here, or it has to come up mid-block. It can't come out over here. So that's why there are two accesses, and that's the circular flow for the site. One thing that Core Trust is super excited about is the ability to park along Sunwood Drive as well, so their customers can park right in front here as well. So that's the site plan in a nutshell. And Dean might be able to talk a little bit more about it, but you know, this secondary lot right here wasn't originally on the original plan they brought forward. But the reason that they're taking down this much land is so that we can get those accesses to come directly across, and that the traffic flow will work. So this will be a project. We don't know what it will be. It could be an office building, something that either the bank will develop on their own, or they potentially could sell it to another developer in the future. So.
Great. Do we have any questions before we go to Core Trust? Anything you want to add to the presentation here?
Not really, no. And I think, again, I think one of and Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going off of memory a little bit here, but I think there was some, consternation with the drive-through. We went down to two drive-through, put the ATM on the inside of the building. That was one other thing that we did as well. Again, I think to Sean's point on that outlot, you kind of had to do it based on, again, working with Sean and Todd. And I can tell you today, I really don't know what that, to me, it'd probably be a little retail of some sort of property. We would probably look to sell that and have somebody else develop it. But again, we're not in a development business per se.
Sure.
We're a banking business, so we want to stick to what we know. But we've done it in some other locations as well, so it's a possibility.
Okay. Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I mean, I think Core is an amazing bank. I've enjoyed talking to you guys, and I know people at bank there, and I love the name. And so it's not anything particular with the company itself. I guess some of the concerns I had when I was voting against it was being kind of a prime spot within the city and the Core, there, right across from the hotel, and taking up almost two lots. You're really kind of pigeonholing what that second business would be or what room they would have, where I think that'd be a prime spot for, a restaurant or something else close to the hotel. We had some different images that we saw of when you're driving into the Core area on Sunwood. You'd see the dumpster area and some of the other areas wouldn't look as nice. Because it's how they had to locate it in order to have the two drive-through lanes. But to me, it was a concern about the amount of space it took up of kind of, I think, prime Ramsey real estate and how it would look from Sunwood. And then, those are, I guess, the main two lines.
A couple of things, if I may.
Yes.
I started this off kind of with the architecture. So, this bank is one of the things that we worked with them, which, kind of is trade-offs, is pushing it right up against the road, with that close to the, you know, the street feel, which we're looking for on the court, and that really kind of limited how you're going to lay it out. But it is going to be, you know, kind of that one and a half story look. It's going to look much better than the daycare and, you know, the other buildings that are in that adjacent to it. And again, kind of coming into the court, it's right on the corner. I mean, you know, banks, they're like churches in a way. You know, they want to look grand and grandiose because, you know, that's kind of where you want people to put their money, and they just have that look and appeal. So I think, you know, putting it at this location, I think it fits. You know, again, I don't know if Dean had talked to you at all on this too. I mean, there's an economic issue with this as well. I mean, they spent upwards of $80,000 the first time to get this thing here. You know, they really want to be here, and I certainly appreciate them taking the opportunity to come in. And I said, this is the best way to get a feel from this council moving forward so that we don't have what happened last time happen again.
Sure.
So that's ultimately what he's trying to get from today. If the consensus of the council is, yes, we like this, generally, you know, where it's at, how it looks, then he's going to move forward. If he doesn't get warm fuzzies on it, it's probably not. So that's kind of why we're doing it this way, which is atypical, but it's just a unique situation.
Sure. Chris has had it.
We'll do Councilmember Olson and then Councilmember Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In contrast to what Mr. Speck was saying, I think a bank is sort of an anchor in a city, and I think having a kind of upfront prime location is appropriate. The whole dumpster thing, is that not actually air conditioning?
Are you talking about the right in the it'd be the north east corner there?
Is that what you're talking about? I think that's what you're
referring
to.
If I remember correctly, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so we had a fence around it,
yeah,
too.
Okay. Walled that in.
And I thought we also talked about in the front of it putting kind of a half wall where the parking lot is, too.
All along here. So yeah. It would have that street feel, so you would have the, similar to what would be like at Alina and Casey's.
Oh, gotcha.
Along that, so that you have that street separation and kind of that feel. Right.
So to my way of thinking, that issue has been addressed and resolved, certainly to my satisfaction. Dredging up old objections, there was some concern about the traffic, you operate a bank. What kind of traffic does a bank have anymore? It seems to me most people do their banking on their phone.
They do. Yeah, that's a fair point. You know, it depends on where it is, and I mean, we have some that, you know, it's pretty consistent. I don't know. I can't really go off of, I mean, my only point of reference would be kind of the Anoka one we have, and I can't really use that one because it's honestly, it's not a very good location. It's better now than it did 10. Now it's a little easier to get to. I don't know. I could get some traffic count or some car counts on it. To me, I don't think that's going to be an issue. Yeah. I really don't.
I don't think so either. It just kind of struck me as a grasping.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, I mean, banking has become more, you know, it's a lot of online. Mm-hmm. That's a big piece of it.
I'm excited about the prospect myself.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Riley. Can't hear you yet. I'm gonna check sound.
Looks like he's on mute though.
No, that's next to him is on. Nothing yet. Try again.
See if you might be able to use your computer for the audio.
Oh, Why don't you?
Oh, I can hear them somewhere.
It's,
quiet.
It's coming through like a PC.
Say again. Do it.
No. Maybe click the test speaker and microphone, because I wonder if that would. No.
Where is it coming? Is it that PC over there?
There you go. There you go. That's right.
They're coming through at all.
Yep.
Say yes.
Okay. We want to make it work tonight.
Almost, Chris.
All right, now you can go, Chris.
I'm very patient.
We got it.
You can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. I'm sorry for that. I'm not sure I am. But anyway, I think this is a great example of we have I'm going to call it a local business that wants to be in the core in Ramsey. They're even asking again after putting this all in front of us before. They've done everything that the city asked. They've made many changes to their original plan, including moving that exit and adding the original or this excess land. That seemed to be the stopper before when we discussed this, was this excess land that's going to be held. And really, that was a creation of the city that Core Trust is willing to do and take that on as their burden. I supported this before, and I support this now. I think this would be a good addition and have a good local business that's willing to work with the city.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I think this is a great addition to Ramsey. I think that with our population of people, the apartments and all the other housing areas, having a bank nearby that they can walk to, it's a great thing. I'm in support.
Anybody else? Yes, Councilor.
Sure. No opposition here. Just wondering, what you think that you can bring to our community that is something that we should be, just welcoming you guys with into the space.
I think one of the things, again, we're a community bank. Very, very involved with the communities that we currently serve. So I think that's something we bring to the table. Again, we've been around for coming up on 100 years, stability. It's a family-owned bank, along with an ESOP. It's very stable, and obviously in the banking world today, I don't know if anybody else, a lot of other banks can say that. So we've got three generations of the family that work at the bank currently. I think you look at some of our other branches where we're located, very active in the community. That's very important to us.
Thank you.
I do love the curb appeal. I love the elevation of it. I love the two setbacks. I think that's going to look really nice. What are our checks and balances on our next 3,200 square foot retail? Do we have checks and balances to make sure that building being built is pretty next to the bank and the hotel? Thank you.
I can probably answer that better.
Go ahead.
I'll take a shot first. But we have pretty strict development standards in the core that basically protect us and make sure that we have buildings that are either, are right up to the build two lines, meet the architectural standards, which are much higher than the rest of the community. So we know that whatever is built here will be top-notch. The uses will be dictated by the zoning district, which has been the Planning Commission and Council has approved those uses. I can't name them all, but it'll be a good fit. And he won't be able to put whatever he wants there. He'll have to put something that works within our core framework.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess my input, I'm more aligned with Dan here. I look at the core as we got one shot to develop it, and after it's developed, we're kind of pigeonholed with what we have. Not that a bank is a bad thing to be pigeonholed with, but when I hear about what the residents want, I don't hear we want a bank in the core. They say we want retail, we want restaurants, we want shopping. So for me personally, it kind of takes away from that. I do think it's a great bank. Sounds like maybe getting the cart before the horse here, but maybe there might be consensus on this one, regardless of myself or Councilmember Speck's opinion. However, my question goes along with Councilmember Stewart's opinion. We have the ability to regulate the aesthetic of the building. As far as what goes there, do we have any ability to regulate that? Because what I'd hate to see is give up a spot where we could have put a restaurant or a brew pub or something, and then we create another spot for retail space. And not that I have anything against dry cleaners, but if it's filled with a, you know, a small dry cleaner or something like that, I feel like that's a double whammy from what I feel like residents want. So are we able to regulate business use and say, no dry cleaners, it needs to be maybe not a coffee shop now, but something of that nature?
Great question. And the answer is, as it's being proposed, no. So any permitted use that's within our core zoning district within this area, they would be able to put in that use, and we really wouldn't be able to say no. So there are ways, if you really wanted to do that, you could put restrictive, you could do a restrictive deed that would disallow potential uses, but then you have to identify all of the uses that you don't want versus the ones that you would want. So you could do it. It would be a, I don't know if cumbersome is the right word, but it'd be a difficult process because you'd probably forget one that you didn't want to have or something along those lines. You don't see it very often. What you do see a lot of times are, like with Aldi, you have like a restrictive use and covenants where you say these ones, again, can't be there. But you don't necessarily say it can't be.
Councilmember Stewart.
So I just kind of, like 3,200 square feet, because that's what's advertised. Fine dining restaurants might be about 2,000 to 5,000 square feet. So we could end up with a restaurant there. And it has the parking capabilities, I'm sure. If they wanted to make a deal with the bank, because banks close at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever time they close, that flow of parking lot could possibly be over at the hotel. Yeah. So I just thought maybe that was interesting information, is that you could end up with a restaurant there.
Yeah, that's good input. Councilmember Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For Sean, the restricted thing you were talking about, the list, is that that's something that would come from the property owner, or would that come from the city, or is it either or?
It would come from the city. So we would, when we would deed them the property, it would be a deed, and then there would be a list of restricted uses along with that deed. So, you know, when we bought the Amoco station a long time ago, there was a restriction that said there couldn't be another gas station there for 15 years, or there could never be store there, and things along those lines. So it can be done. It isn't done very often. Yes, it would be possible, and it would have to be something, you know, I mean, one of the things that, you know, we looked at as well, could the city retain it? And, you know, we've never really vetted that out wholly, but the thought process was that, you know, they're going to be putting in all of the infrastructure for the access on the site, and then the city is going to not spend any money on the infrastructure, yet have a lot now that it would retain. So there's kind of a fairness issue. There'd probably have to be some sort of negotiation of a buyback or something along those lines. So good thought on that. And I was thinking about that too, but we never went down that path and explored it.
I was along the same lines as Councilmember Speck there. I feel like if we're going to do that, I'd want some assurances that we have some control. And some of the best ways to do that is to sell that lot, less that portion, so that way we still retain some control over that. So I don't know if, with everything shared, I think we all went around the table once. Does anybody have any refined thoughts or additions that they want to add to where they're at? Councilmember Riley, you don't yet have your hand up, but if you do, this is your opportunity.
That would give us control. That would not be my preference. I don't want to see the land still in city hands. I would rather see a private business wanting to have it developed. But if that's what it takes, I would certainly see my way towards that.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anything added?
I have more a question, and this may be for Todd or Stephanie, but if we were to go down that path of having us retain that lot, is the size of that lot such that we could do that? I feel like it probably isn't, but I don't know.
You mean like it's going to hamstring who we can sell to?
No, that it won't be like a buildable lot or large enough that we could just...
Sure.
Mayor, council members, it would just be confined to whatever you can fit inside the box, basically. There are no minimum lot sizes in the core zoning districts, so if it's on parcel that we hold on to, that's fine.
So we could go recruit a nice breakfast joint to go in there. Yeah. Some skillets. Yeah.
Honestly, we prefer that.
That's good.
Okay.
Member Stewart?
I'm sorry, you'd prefer what?
Skillets
or the preferred?
No, I'm just skillets. Yeah.
Yeah,
who doesn't like a breakfast place?
I'm fine with that.
No, I think we'd prefer, I mean, if you guys, if we didn't have to take that other, you know, we'd have to work on the agreement around it. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we're not in a development business. We're in the banking business.
Right.
We prefer that. But, again, that was never presented to us back then. It was never really, I worked with Todd and Sean on this. And they said, well, okay, let's do this. And I said, okay, all right, we're willing to take that on. But, again, our preference would be if you guys want to keep that piece of it.
Councilmember Butcher.
Thanks. Is there anything that you wouldn't want next to your building?
Probably the same things you wouldn't want.
I want to make sure that you feel comfortable in this plan as well.
I guess I really can't think of anything on the top of my head that would be...
So a dispensary is fine?
I think to his point, yeah. Obviously, some type of a restaurant would be... Other than that, I can't really think of anything that I'd be like, that's, you know.
Another small
bank. obviously you'd have a lot of say on what goes in there, too.
Sure.
So I would assume we'd be aligned in that respect, I would guess.
Okay. So in the purpose of time, does anybody want to take a shot at summarizing what we've discussed and see if there's consensus for that? Otherwise, I...
Ryan's usually going to do that.
Sure. So I guess, generally speaking, at this point, we would look for some consensus direction. We wouldn't be looking for a full-blown vote from council, but consensus direction in this scenario to continue to work with Core Trust to work through the land use application process and buying this. If there is specific direction or open to the idea on the city, you know, kind of, well, I guess it'd be Core Trust kind of replatting that and the city retaining that small remnant parcel, you know, keep that as part of the consensus. Or if it's a, hey, if staff and Core Trust thinks it would work, let's look at that. Otherwise, generally speaking, there's consensus to move forward as is would be the direction that staff would be looking for.
Sean?
Thanks, Ryan. I do think that this evening Dean really needs to walk out of here knowing that if he does this, we're going to support it. So whatever consensus is, if it's the we retain the lot, a very specific consensus that, you know, he feels there's support, bank here, vacant lot, the city retains, get her done. That's what he's looking for. He doesn't want to go through the whole process again and see if we can figure something out. This is a pretty straightforward request, and that's what he needs to know.
So we're not voting, but my thought would be we move forward with it based on the consensus of the group, and then we would retain that lot for so we have more control over what goes there in hopes that we get something that is a mix of both a bank and then that retail restaurant space. Anybody disagree? We still do thumbs up.
Mr. Mayor, for the purposes of their minute takers, it would be nice to have, if you do a thumbs up, at least for you to say there is consensus or not consensus.
Yes. It appears there is consensus.
Do you have enough, Dean?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Like I said, I mean, when Sean and I started talking, I want to go be, you know, last thing, you know, we kind of felt like we got to the altar. Did everything that they asked us to do. We got there, and then we kind of felt like the rug was pulled out of underneath it.
Sure.
A lot of time, money was put into it, and we walked away with absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we had to go re-up our lease and all kinds of other things that we weren't anticipating. Mm-hmm. So that's the last thing. I
you know, full disclosure, I've talked to the owner of the bank when Sean and I first, you know, and, you know, he was a little reluctant at first. He's like, I just, you know, he's very, like, I don't want to, we put a lot into this last time, and I can't, you know, felt like they want us and they don't want us here. And we're like, he goes, I'm not going to go somewhere where I'm not wanted. So I got other places we can put our, money in, or, you know, so that's the biggest thing is, like, I can't go back and go, hey, oh, yeah, looks like it's a good deal, and then we get down to it, and again, I'm not asking you for that. I know this is not the place for that, but, you know, I can't go back in, you know. I can't.
Sean?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just want to say full disclosure, though. They approached us. We did not approach them.
Correct.
So we did not reach out. I did not reach out to them and say, hey, take another shot at the apple here.
Yep.
They reached out to us. I just want to make sure we're clear on that.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, I understand your position and wanting that. So
yep.
I think there's 5 strong supports and 2 that are more supportive with that kind of amendment of retaining that space. So
okay.
Is that
yeah,
good?
I mean, that. In fact, I haven't talked to him, but I kind of know how he thinks, and I think he'd be he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to have to develop something down the road.
Sure. He'd
prefer not to, so get the rights. You know, I think it'd be better for us. Simpler,
yeah.
I think.
All right. Well, thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for giving us another shot, too.
You bet.
All right, so it looks like we can move on to item 2, which is discuss council organization.
Thank you, Mayor, yep. Members of Council. This case is to determine the council appointments to various boards and committees for 2025. Thank you, everyone, for setting in your rankings so I could kind of fill in preemptively a few positions. Our code does require us to have a health authority, and in my experience and in the past years, we've never called on that health authority for anything, but since it's in our code, we do have to have somebody appointed. Our longtime city doctor retired, and Dr. Barth is the most senior doctor at Alina Clinic now, so he agreed to have that position, knowing that we haven't called on that position for any actual duties. The fire chief has handled everything for our emergency response along with the county and other bodies. And the plan is to review the code more in depth later this year and consider getting rid of that item in our code. Later this evening, council will be adopting a resolution approving the decisions made right now, and I'll update the case as soon as we're done discussing this. Along with those appointments, we've got the city's official newspaper and legal counsel, and then also approving the contract for Time Savers, which does our minutes. We can start from the top at 4A and go down. Otherwise, we can start with 2-year appointments, and I'll just put down what you guys have for consensus.
Councilmember Speck.
Thank you, Mayor. So I would just say 2 different residents approached me about Dr. Barth. Just really, again, this is what they said. I'm going to keep their names anonymous because obviously I don't need, you know, cause issues. But just they have really poor experiences with that gentleman, and they advise strongly not to even give him some kind of a title or associate with the city. Just their experience. So I just want to pass it along because that's our job as, you know, people. The council members represent the people. So it was fun and unusual that they noticed that, and they didn't, you know, that was a big deal to him. So I'll pass that along, and I think it's a good idea to review to see if we even need that position. So that's all. I want to just press that along.
Councilmember Riley.
That's interesting. Dr. Long, our previous physician of the city, is my physician, and he retired. When I met with him last, I asked what he thought we should do. His suggestion also was Dr. Barth. And I personally have had good experience with him, so I'm comfortable with Dr. Barth.
Thank you. Question for staff. Does this position hold any sort of authority, or is it advisory?
The health authority has some authority if there's like a
pandemic,
an abuse case.
Okay.
From what I've read in code, I don't know that we've ever needed to call on that person for anything.
Sure.
But it's spelled out that in certain cases we need somebody that's a medical approved Minnesota medical doctor.
So it seems like that would be for specific cases of individual welfare and not health policy in general?
Correct.
Any other questions about this one?
I've had Dr. Barth for my kids as a doctor since I've been here, and I've never had a problem with him. I was actually, when I saw his name, I was like, hey, I know that guy.
Fine, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think if we're, if there's no real authority and we're already looking at maybe getting rid of that position, then we continue.
If you want to start with Acting Mayor, I kind of pre-filled in based on the rankings that were sent in, but these are all open for discussion, so if you guys agree with what was pre-filled in, just let me know, otherwise we can make changes.
Councilmember Bozier.
Thank you. I do have a question on if you become an alternative, are you able to attend all meetings, even if the person that is the primary is there?
Councilmember Bozier, yes. Yeah, you're welcome to join, not as a member, but just as a, yeah.
And that would be true even if you're not an alternate on the board. You just want to go and hear a case as it's getting discussed at one of those advisory boards, feel free to go or listen in, things of that nature.
Would the exception of that be the Public Works Committee to avoid a quorum having too many people show up?
Correct. If there is a quorum, really at any meeting, ideally we're aware of it ahead of time, and we post notice of a potential quorum, and generally within that notice we can note that there's no council business that's going to be happening, but there could be a quorum of council, and it's a little bit of a cover ourselves.
Sure.
My concern was more with the Anoka County one, so it wouldn't have necessarily been within the joint law enforcement one. So I guess that moves with whether we're there or not. So,
Councilmember Riley.
Well, it sounds like we're just going to dive into it. I would like to remain Acting Mayor. I know that in that position for several years, kind of a tradition that the senior at-large member is there. And if I was going to put several items as my first pick, I would have moved that to my first pick.
So you just listed everything? You didn't put them in order? Is that what I'm hearing?
When I put my picks, I guess I was under the assumption I would have one first pick, one second pick, one third pick, and one fourth pick. And it doesn't appear that's necessarily the way that we all do.
I was a little confused too. I fill it up.
Me too.
All right, so we can address
what I thought. I that's the way I assumed that this meant was one first pick, one second pick, and that was the way that I filled this out. So.
Okay, so we have that one. We're going to go over here shortly. Any other things stand out that we need to hash out regarding these rankings?
The whole list?
Oh, we're starting with just the one, right? You want to start with the Acting Mayor. Okay, we'll start with Acting Mayor. Make your best case, I suppose.
I thought that 2 years ago I put in for this, but I was brand new. There were two other people who expressed interest and came down to a vote. I backed out at that point right away. But I thought that it would be something that I would enjoy doing. I'd like a chance at it. But I leave it to what the people in the council think.
All right.
Is this something we vote on?
So we don't technically vote on any of this, right?
Again, with this one, we're looking for consensus direction, and then after this discussion, Katie would go and update the resolution and
sure.
Then re-update the packet for official vote later this evening at the regular meeting.
All right, so we get the fun privilege of sharing our preference as we have two council members here waiting in bated breath. So does anyone want to throw out where their preference is and start with? Of course. Councilmember Pusher.
I think you'd be a more than qualified candidate, but just hearing what Chris Riley had said, being the senior most at-large member. I think that could be a tradition that is maybe something that we keep. And it doesn't matter who it is that's in office. It's just, it makes the most sense.
Sure. Councilmember Speck.
I will last. I'll probably make a joke, so. Go ahead.
Councilmember Stewart.
I think, just having worked with Chris on the EDA quite often, he's just very well calm. He does a very good job at keeping things moving when he's in those pieces, so I would go ahead and say I vote for Chris.
All right, well, that saves Dan and me the trouble of...
I'm just concerned about Chris's age, but I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be fine.
So with Chris in favor of himself, which I assume, is that correct, Chris? Okay. Councilmember Buescher, Stewart, and Peterson, I think we would be making that switch.
Moving on, the next one is the Environmental Policy Board, and Michael Olson was the only one to have it in one of his first through fourth picks, so that's why I had filled him in for that position.
It's a fair trade.
I either misunderstood how this was supposed to work or what. I thought I was supposed to rank all of the things, 1, 2, 3, or 4, and this was 4 because it's not high on my list of interests. Frankly, I would like to trade with Mr. Peters for the Public Works Committee because I was just on the Public Works Committee, and so that would offer some continuity.
What does EPB meet?
I'm sorry.
What does EPB meet?
First Monday.
First Monday?
It's the...
First Monday, I think.
No, it's the third Monday. It was moved up.
Is it an evening or a morning one?
Evening.
There you go. I'm good for it.
Third Monday at 6:30.
We got a deal.
Third Monday, 6:30.
Session.
That's what Jenner and Doug.
All right, well, thank you, Councilmember Peters. Done this before when I got on the council, and there is a little bit of wheeling and dealing and niceties that are exchanged, so that I appreciate you doing that, and thank you for asking for that. Do we need an alternate for that?
Yes.
Yes.
Does anybody want to be an alternate?
I'll be the alternate.
All right. Councilmember Olson, alternate. All right. So we have Highway 10 Committee.
Yep, moving on to Highway 10 Committee. That committee hasn't met in the last, I believe, year or even 2 years, and nobody expressed interest on being on that board, so...
Well, I think we weren't supposed to. You told us not to choose that one.
Well, no, right.
Others, I'd love to be on it still, but I don't think we need it.
There's no meeting.
It's zero purpose.
Yeah.
If something pops up, we can add it when needed.
Yeah. I'll be the chair.
Because at one point, that we didn't meet about... You know, going into Elk River and what we're going to do with all those streets, but that's probably going to be a different thing. And
yeah, and I don't even know what the status of that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we get asked to have some involvement in it, but we definitely bring that back to council and we can create something then.
Okay, so I'll remove that one. And then moving on, the next one is Park and Recreation Committee. And here's a pleasure, and I had Shannon Stewart as the alternate.
It works.
All right. Mm-hmm.
The Planning Commission. Eric Peters chose that as his first choice, I believe, and then Michael Olson as the alternate. What was that? Planning Commission.
Sounds good.
Okay. And then the Public Works Committee, Chris Riley. I believe you guys said you'd switch, so Michael Olson would take Eric Peters' spot, and then Dan Specht, and then Eric Peters, would you want to be the alternate,
yeah,
or unless somebody else wants
somebody
to?
Somebody else wants it. That's fine.
Okay. All right. And then the last one for the one-year appointments is the Twin Cities Gateway Board. And I have the mayor as that position.
You know how often that's going to meet or anything, or what?
Was every quarter?
Quarterly is what I recall.
Yeah, it's like March.
March, June, September, December.
Yep.
It's a midday. It starts at 11 a.m. Full disclosure, there's a lunch that goes along with it.
Full disclosure.
Oh, wow.
So
now I see why Ryan wanted it.
But yeah, third Thursday of of the last month of the calendar quarter.
Where does that meet?
It changes. They go throughout the cities that are part of it, and they already expressed interest to hold their June meeting in Ramsey since we're the newest member. So.
Anybody else? All right, Marcel.
Hey, go for it, buddy. Okay.
And another item,
I can be an alternate for you.
Okay. So I'm just going to touch on it. Right now, their bylaws don't allow for alternates to show up and have a vote. Could definitely attend just to stay in the loop and things like that. But they did indicate that they're kind of looking at that and might change that moving forward. Sounds like there's some other cities maybe had some interest in doing that too. But for now, this year, it would just be one member, no alternates.
Yep.
Okay. Now we're moving down to the two-year appointments. The first one is the Anoka County Fire Protection Council. And Kirsten Busher and then Mike Wilson is the alternate.
Good.
Next one is the Anoka County Joint Law Enforcement Council, and this one, both the mayor and Shanna Stewart have expressed interest, and I don't know what you guys thought right now. Other than that, Shanna's teed up for one other committee, so.
What would you like?
It's a middle of the day, quarterly, I believe, if I remember correctly. So it worked out really well for my schedule. So okay. I was like, okay. But if you want it.
I would say I put interest in from a, not police, but military police and background there. However, if you want to run with it and use it as a chance to get to know the Joint Law Enforcement Council, then I'm okay with that too.
No pressure, right? Want a rock, paper, scissor, and then we'll just figure it out that way? No. Do you really want it, though? If you would really like it, it is not hurting me.
Okay, I would take it then.
Okay, go ahead.
Would you like to be the alternate, or who should the alternate
I would
be?
Love to be the alternate if I could be.
Yes.
I would like to be the alternate.
You'd like to be the alternate also.
And okay. Just for note, Brad Wise asked me to join it.
Okay. So... there's one alternate, correct? All right. Let's hear your best case.
That was my best case. The sheriff asked me.
Okay.
The sheriff did not ask. I just thought it was a very interesting piece, and I was like, ooh, I'd love to know more about that. Plus, it fit my schedule, so that's why it was on my list.
All right. Councilmember Olson, what do you think? Cast your vote.
Well, I guess I'd have to go with Sheriff Wise, since he's related to my wife.
Okay. Out of order here, but Councilmember Riley, since I can see you next.
Sure. Well, and I guess a little bit of a different reasoning here. That's a first pick, it looks like, for Ms. Busher. And I would say kind of because of that, that you know she's not getting any of the first get picks, so I would go with that.
That's my respect.
Yeah, I guess I would appreciate I think Shauna would do well in it. Opportunity to learn something new, fits the schedule well, and I think your experience with the military as a backup that also would be good as well. But I think we're not going to go wrong either way, both good people.
Councilmember Busher. One, two, three. Okay, it would be Councilmember Busher then.
Okay. All right, moving down to G, which is the Lower Rum River Watershed Management Organization. Chris Riley I had as a member, and then Mike Olson as the alternate.
Councilmember Riley.
I'll absolutely accept this one. I have been the alternate for many years. Historically, I don't want to say important, but this is a bigger job kind of them oftentimes. And I would accept it, but I guess I would throw it out to see if anyone else was interested in this. And then also, I want to make note, there is a meeting on Thursday morning, as in like in 2 days. That I won't be able to attend.
All right. Is there anybody else that Appeals, the Lower Rum River Management Organization, calling their name.
So I'm like, you want to just jump on to the main guy?
Not particularly.
Are you still comfortable being an alternate?
I'm okay with being alternate.
So, Chris, it sounds like you're the main guy, and Mike will be the alternate. And I think your experience as the alternate might set us up for success. We'll figure out this coming meeting coming up here. But
okay. I gladly accept it. So thank you, but like I said, I can't make Thursday morning of this week.
Can Deborah do one more? She's
she loved it.
All right, we'll work on that. We'll work on this Thursday. Good.
Wouldn't that just put Michael to go this Thursday?
It will if you can make it. Okay, sounds like Michael is leaning yes.
Okay, otherwise city staff will be there and will represent the city, but it would be nice if we had it.
All right.
The next one is the Quad City Cable Communications Commission, and Dan Specht expressed an interest, and this is one that they are moving towards wanting us, the city manager, or city administrator, to be on the board, along with one council member as opposed to two council members.
And then
it's a fun time, Brian. It really is. They're crazy.
Everybody good with Dan heading across the river to Champlin?
Yeah.
Well, Anoka.
Anoka, yeah.
I will, I mean, disclosure on that, too. They do, the members get paid. It's like, honestly, I don't even know how much, 100-something meeting. But it's like 4 meetings a year.
You can have it if you bring the stories back to us.
Yeah. Jamie Barthel is hilarious. He's so, like, this one place I don't need to make jokes because they are just hilarious.
Do we need an alternate for that?
No.
Yep. Oh, yes.
Okay. And then the final decision is for the EDA. And there's one seat that's open, and Shannon and both Michael Olson expressed an interest. And when I had Tita Minge, she wasn't on anything, so that's why I.
All right, Mike Olson, Shanna Stewart. I thought I was talking on the TV for a second, got confused. Are you both sticking with that as your one spot?
I want that spot, yes.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I wanted it, but because I enjoy being on the EDA.
Mm-hmm.
But then back to the continuity issue, she has just been on it.
Yeah.
So I think it makes sense to, and then she'd be on for 4 years, where I need to be on it too.
Sure.
So I think she's a better choice.
Okay. And then we do need an alternate for that one, so
yep.
Alternate?
Yep.
Is everybody okay with that? All right. I think we did it.
Okay, thank you.
No worries. Was there anything else for this one that we need to cover at the working sessions?
Oh, I think we're good.
Yes, Councilmember Buescher.
Are we going to talk about the contracts that were on here? The, like, Eckford Glamours?
This would be the place to do it, correct?
If you have any questions, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that firm currently doesn't work with the AG's office on the Clean Slate Act to help people get expungements, and I would like to make an amendment in our contract to make it so they have to work with them.
Yes.
So
Mr. Hagan.
The contract would, I mean, we could bring forward an amendment easy enough if that's the direction. We can negotiate that with them. Otherwise, Chief Bummler, they, when's that one? That's a multi-year contract.
Through 2027, correct.
Through 2027. So, you know, we could seek an amendment now or at the time of renewal, but that's a couple years out now, so. Happy to take council direction on that. And
I guess I'd like to lean on our legal counsel.
Fair enough. there would be no reason why you couldn't make that request. Is it your understanding that they're resisting cooperation or they're just not?
Any cities that they are under contract with. They just don't work with the AG's office to do it. And it's people that are like requesting expungements that have more than fulfilled their time, you know, served. So
I don't know what justification they'd have for that, not working for the AG's office, but I would suspect that if you were to call the prosecutor's office and say, we want to talk to you about this, you would get a, I would hope, a pretty positive response. Even if they're not doing it for the other cities, for whatever reason, you could probably make that an important part of this contract. And just, I don't know, why would they oppose it?
So I worked with them over the spring in their post-conviction relief, and when I would contact city attorneys to do those things, that was just like always their response, was just that they don't do it. They don't participate in the program. Some city attorneys that were not connected to Ecker Glamours would state that they felt that they were interfering with like judicial discretion by doing that, or felt that individual folks that they could apply themselves if they truly wanted to at the courthouse, but this makes it so those folks don't have to pay the fees. And these are obviously community members that already could use some extra assistance in this space, and it will help them re-enter into community, you know, like I said already, after they've done what they're supposed to do.
So if I'm understanding, council member, you're working with the Attorney General's office?
I was, yes.
Or you were?
Yes.
Well, that would be reason enough to raise it as an issue of importance. It's coming from the council, and that is something that they may want to do. I'm not speaking on their behalf, but I would think that were I wouldn't have a problem with that. And if they do, they can explain what that problem is, because there may be one. I don't know.
Mr. Hagan, you said there would be an amendment. Would an amendment to the contract have to happen now, or is it something we could ask for amendment later on?
Or they could just simply agree to do it. You know, there's no reason why necessarily you have to modify the contract in order to make that part of their policy. That would, it seems to me they're operating under prosecutorial discretion. And you could, if it is the consensus of the council, say this is important from the council's point of view. We'd like to have some discussion with you about whether or not you'd be willing to do it or not. I don't want to interfere with how they're handling their contract, mind you, but I know the players there, and I would think that they'd be more than willing to talk to you about it.
Councilmember Riley.
So I fully support moving forward with Eckers Lambert, that because they've done a good job for us in the past. This sounds like a very interesting topic, but I know the devil's in the details, and I do not understand the details at this point, so I would certainly want to understand better what that means. And, you know, as you just asked, can we indicate we want to move forward and then move work out the details or the contract or direction later once we've had a chance to absorb it and understand better?
Yes. Councilman Respect.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I guess I agree similarly, where I think that, you know, they've done a good job as our prosecutors. I don't think we need to put any additional requirements upon them for other policy ideas or social issues that they're involved in. I think we hire them for what they do for the city, and I think they've done good with that. I personally don't think we need to make any changes.
Anybody else? I would agree. I may be ignorant on the subject. I trust that you know quite a bit about the subject. However, I would like to hear from them why that's something that they don't do before we just tell them they have to do it. Yeah. So I would be okay with passing it as is, recommending to staff that they reach out with that question, get an answer, bring it back to us, and if it's something that's egregious, we feel it's egregious, or we think it's unethical, then we can go ahead and make some changes. But as of right now, knowing what I know, which is very little about that exact topic, I wouldn't want to switch the entire or amend the contract based on that. That's just my consensus. So pass it, ask the city staff to follow up on that question. Would you be willing to send that language over?
Absolutely. I think a discussion's always best. You shouldn't just, like, I wasn't meaning to say, like, let's bulldoze them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, same with, like, contracts. I don't think you should just, like, cancel them and then say we'll reform them later. I think it's always something that it's good to know both sides of the story as to why they do that. And, you know, there could be, once again, a good reason, so.
And you can help craft that language, or do you understand our council, what she's saying, so you can craft the language yourself?
I mean, it sounds like an exchange of letters initially, frankly.
Sure.
You know, where you tell that the council's approved, but this issue was raised. Would you please explain whether or what your position would be, something like that?
So you have what you need to...
Oh, yes, I would, and I can certainly recommend, if you want to send a letter, I would guess it's probably better coming from you. But.
Yeah, we'll between myself and the police chief and the attorney, we'll come back with some information and see where we go from there.
All right.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes?
Since we're on the topic of contracts, if I could make just one correction in the description of our contract, which says here that it's a monthly flat fee, which it is, and that any time over 10 hours in a monthly flat fee is billed at a rate. That's 10 hours over of litigation, and I don't think that's happened at all since I've been here. It rarely happened in the contract that we've had. I don't get the impression that there's any kind of incentive for us to be spending more time than we do already.
Sure. Any other questions regarding the contract?
Not this contract, but the last one. I didn't ask, would you be opposed to people in our city being, or not in the city, but people who've committed crimes in our city being expunged from previous crimes, and they're usually like misdemeanors.
I know that our Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I know that our office supervisor currently does expungements, and we already participate in that. I was not aware of what you stated about Epic Glamours. They've been helpful for him to work with for quite some time now, so I'm happy that the council wants to continue that relationship, and I will work with staff to figure out an answer to your question. Anything else regarding the contracts? All right, so it looks like we have moved past item two. So we'll go to item three, which is the legislative priorities for 2025.
I'll take this one. So we do, not every city does this, but Ramsey has historically identified some legislative priorities. You know, lack of a better term, I kind of call it a wish list that we're going to the state and asking for some special approvals, some that benefit us very specific, and some that are viewed as more of a statewide benefit many entities as a whole. This list in front of you this evening is a carryover from last year. There's some updates on what we were successful with and some updates on what we had some success with but ultimately didn't come to fruition. And then also a couple suggestions that, you know, I think we're kind of past the point of needing that special law and recommending dropping it. So kind of start with that. You know, we have for a number of years now asked for some state money, grant money to help fund our water treatment plant. We were successful, got some money. There was kind of the gentleman's agreement or messaging that come back the next year and we'll try to make you whole on the full $10 million request. That project, we've found a way to pay for it. We're not going to need to take out any type of bonding for it, and it's going to be done in roughly 6 months or so time frame. So I think to go back and ask for more grant money is not needed at this point. So I would recommend dropping that one. Related to that project, though, is a sales and use tax exemption. I think we should go and continue to ask for some amended language. Truthfully, when we submitted our dollar figure to the state and they ran it against their budget and their financial impact, they included our full project, which was the Trump water main improvement and our water treatment plant. However, when you get down devils in the details mentioned earlier, the bill itself that was passed and the people who interpret that bill are very black and white, and the bill said the water treatment plant and not anything about the trunk water main line. So we're only approved to receive a portion of the sales and use tax exemption on our overall project. Last year we had success from the financial impact side where legislators were like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's a simple cleanup. There's no additional financial impact. It's just at the end of the day last year, really nothing tax related got passed. So I think we have a strong ask if we go back to them this year. Should be on there. It's really no extra from a staff perspective. It's a little bit of paperwork, but it would provide some savings. So I'll stop and see if there's any questions on those two since they're related. If you like them, we'll kind of move forward.
Yep.
The next one to very briefly explain what the ask is related to our TIP 14 district, which is the core area. It's a large district. It's a complicated district, but ultimately what we want is some more flexible language to be adopted. And similar to the sales and use tax exemption, we made really great progress last year, and then it was pulled out at the very end of the big omnibus bill that got passed under the tax one that was several hundred pages long, nothing tax related in it. So again, I think we've got a strong ask again, albeit we're kind of running out of the window of time where they're going to start to get really, really sick of us coming back. So this would probably be our last effort on it. If we do get it, we'll just create flexibility in other revenue that we're generating from land proceeds. Kind of seen a couple heads to leave that one on. Next one is funding for the continued study of a Mississippi River crossing bridge project. This one's been on there, albeit not a high priority, but I think that there's gained interest from other neighboring communities, and I think within the case I mentioned, the North Metro Mayors Association is behind this one. So really we're just trying, the idea is to keep this on the state's eyes that we're interested in it, other communities in the area are interested in it, and for them not to forget about it and then have to start all over in a few years when it's maybe needed even more. There are some other hiccups related to ownership of it long term that would still have to be ironed out, but my understanding there's a few different study phases that would be needed yet before they start talking about construction. So the idea behind this is if we get the right ears and, you know, the messaging from Ramsey would be, yes, if the state approves money, that we would be a willing partner at the table to talk about what this looks like and help with the design impacts and things like that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the North Metro Mayor's Council also has a lobbyist there as well. So we'd be lobbying from that council as well as our local legislature.
Yep, and then I know specific for cities, the city of Maple Grove is very interested in it, different representatives, so we'd get more ears than just our local state rep and senator, and then Champlin's very interested in it, and really all those other cities that are taking and that traffic impact and it gets congested, so seeing this kind of stays on. And next one is Metro Mobility Service Area. This has been on for a number of years, and
pause real quick. Councilmember Riley, is this about the last one?
No, I'll wait for Brian to finish. I don't want to add on to that.
Okay.
This one.
Whether individually we like it or not, the additional sales tax that was implemented that now goes to fund the transportation, I think actually helps us with this ask now, as it doesn't have to go through property taxes and things of that nature. It moving forward, it's going to fall under the general budget. I did have some conversations with the Metro Transit staff, and they remember looking at this a few years ago, creating kind of an estimated budget impact. And, you know, I asked them, you know, do you guys get to weigh in on whether this is a good ask or not? And he said, really, no, but from his perspective, it is a good ask because they are right next door. So to expand that service area, you're not creating an island of service area. And, you know, I don't think that we would necessarily hear pushback or a negative response from the transit staff themselves. So I think this is a good one to keep on, and I think we would see better success with this ask moving forward.
Councilmember Riley.
Yeah, and I concur with what Mr. Hagan is saying. And, you know, so we've all heard that taxation without representation is bad, and this is worse. This is taxation without any benefit from it. So our citizens are taxed, and we can't use the service. So, I mean, just asking for this is literally just asking for our citizens to be able to use the benefit that we're already paying for. As was already pointed out, there is some traction. So I would really like to see this moved up and really not just kind of on our list, but I want to see this one done. I mean, this one, I'm going to say, feels to me like low-hanging fruit. But, you know, that this one should be able to get done.
Good deal. Next one is closed landfill legislation, and Sean has stepped away, but this one really is kind of falling under his plate. the idea behind it is there's some land around the closed landfill that in the last 3-4 years Conexus has started working with the state, and they're working through a lease agreement to do a solar farm over there. And when we heard about it as staff, that kind of perked our ears of saying, all right, let's piggyback on their project. And Conexus actually worked with our staff to kind of say, okay, if we do this project and this area is retained, could that be marketable for some type of industrial development? And we feel like there's a good chunk of land that would be left over where we would want to continue to work with the PCA and work through process of how do we get ownership of that land, turn around, and get some industrial development. We've been working on it behind the scenes. The state has been doing some well testing and kind of looking at what area they need long-term moving forward for various testing or monitoring wells. But it's something where we've been kind of a thorn in the side to some state staff, and they know that we're very interested in it. So assuming that council would want to turn some land back onto the property tax roll and see some industrial development, we would leave it on. That concludes the ones that are very specific to Ramsey. Statewide, employee sick and safe time, I think that one's done. The state added it and then amended it, and I don't see it going away. And quite frankly, we've amended our policy and changed how we're going to implement it a couple different times, and we're in a spot where we're in compliance, and I don't know that it's going to change, so we'll probably drop that. If it does get brought up for discussion, we'll keep an ear to that and inform council as needed, but I would say drop it off our list for now. Next one is an exemption of residential gardens from watering emergency restrictions. Last year we did kind of pass a statement via an ordinance saying that, you know, if the state does do this, we're not going to necessarily go and look for violators, but this is kind of a carryover from past councils of saying, you know, if there is a watering ban in a drought situation, from Ramsey's standpoint, we feel like people shouldn't be penalized if they're watering their gardens that are a food source.
I think it's good.
Any discussion? Okay.
I think I'm for typically if a state passes something that we should probably enforce it, but I also know I'm the outlier in this. I'm not going to make a big deal of it.
Okay.
Next one would be statewide licensure of massage therapy. I'll be honest, I don't understand this the most, other than I do know that locally we license massage establishments and we are responsible for the inspections and enforcements of some bad activities that are happening. Ramsey's taken a stance for a number of years that we feel like that's a better job for the state, and they can monitor it better, especially as people kind of just move their location and things of that nature. I've talked to the new chief, but I know the old chief was very supportive of moving this to the state level, and Chief Blummel nods his head as well. So,
okay.
Next one is amending open meeting law requirements and really the remote attendance behind it. There was some minor changes to state law, nothing, in my opinion, that met what I think would be good, but I just don't see this really going anywhere. We're able to comply very easily at our level, so I would suggest we drop this one. Okay.
Looks like you got agreement.
Hospital moratorium. This is another one that's kind of a carryover from past councils, but and I don't understand it the most either, but my understanding is right now, basically, if a new hospital wants to get built, the state has to agree to it. Mr. Riley's raising his hand. One last quick statement. We do have a large area of our core district that's kind of a medical focused, and you know, we've heard that there's been some interest in opening some type of hospital or clinic, more of a specialty type care place, but it's something where we view that as an economic benefit for us, and we would love to at least be able to entertain those discussions without the state having to say no.
Councilmember Riley.
Well, this is what I would just say. I mean, although I mean, we probably agree with it that there shouldn't be a moratorium. This isn't a city specific issue. And when it was brought up before to a state senator, he's like, I was unaware that there's any hospital being suggested to be in Ramsey. pointing out the fact that it's not one of our local issues. So I would suggest this comes off our list to focus on the things that are most important to Ramsey. Doesn't mean I don't necessarily agree with this one, but I don't think it's a city-specific issue.
I would tend to agree. If everything's a priority, then nothing's a priority. So I'd be okay getting rid of this for now. No more respect.
I think it was smart. The only reason that I would say keep it would be, I think Brian kind of mentioned it, but we did have one gentleman come and speak, about the idea of opening some kind of medical facility here. I don't remember the specifics. And we do have that area that's kind of, like you said, not has to be, but kind of designed for the medical area. I think, we've had interest here, and if that would mean development of a hospital here, I think, that'd be good. But I agree it's not our top priority, but we have had interest here in Ramsey.
And, Mr. Mayor, if I may, just to kind of add on, removing it from this list, I don't think would negate staff having those conversations and finding, okay, what hurdles need to be jumped in order to make this project happen. So, if that project does come to fruition or those discussions happen more and more, we can definitely look into any state legislation restrictions and work towards that.
Yep. All right, we've got a couple minutes left, so the last one here.
Two more.
Two more?
Should go quick. Local government aid, it's something that's out there. There's a formula that dictates how much each city gets, and from 2017 to current, we have gotten $0. The formula largely kind of looks at the financial status of the city, the growth of the city, things of that nature. So by not getting anything, simply said, we're in a good position. It's not a bad problem to have. It's just kind of, it's a little bit hard to swallow when some cities are getting millions of dollars and we get nothing. So, I don't know that there's any discussion happening about looking at that formula or really looking at this as a whole, but I think we can keep it on there just knowing that we don't get anything and we want a piece of the pie too.
Yep. So. All right.
And then the last one is the Met Council and the committee membership. It's kind of gets discussed every few years, but historically our position has been that the membership and the makeup of it and how it happens should change in some fashion, whether it's elected officials or staggering terms or a makeup of appointed local elected officials and things of that nature. So, keep it on or keep it off. It's, again, something that from a staff standpoint, if we hear that there's discussions happening, we would learn what those are and bring it back and inform everyone. So, move it, keep it on. I guess I'll look for your guys' direction.
Keep it on.
Keep it on.
Okay.
Yep.
So for a quick summary, the items that I'm suggesting to remove will be removed. Everything else except for the hospital moratorium will stay as is, and we'll remove hospital. And session, I don't know if they started today or not. There was some news yesterday there was a stance that might be made, but we'll take this and I'll start chatting with our local representative and senator and sharing this and try to start getting some bills drafted. Guys updated on what we have. If we get committee hearings, I'll update you guys, and typically I would look to the mayor to come and help represent us if you're available. Otherwise, myself, I'm happy to go down and speak on behalf of the city. It's usually get about 2, maybe 3 minutes if you're lucky to give your elevator speech, and the real work happens in the offices and the halls outside of that. So.
Sure. All right, that brings us to our last topic. We should go through your pretty quick. We want to make it on time, which would be great. But does anybody have anything they want to add or talk about with the future topics, or do we want to punt that to not punt it, but maybe discuss it more during the next meeting? All right. So we should be good. So we are adjourned.
Yep.